Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, and why don't you stand, change positions for a little bit before we have you sit down again. Philippians chapter 4. Please don't answer with a raised hand or anything, but how many of you are truly happy? You found happiness. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. I want to tell you tonight how to have a happy life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd help all of us to come to the place where we have true and lasting happiness, Lord, as it's grounded in you and not in the situations that we find ourselves in. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Actually, with all of the people giving two testimonies, I thought I'd get a chance to preach two sermons tonight. Nah, we won't do that. But I would like to share some thoughts with you on how to have a happy life. You know, as Americans, we're sitting ducks for the how-to craze. There's all kinds of books, how to do this, how to do that. In fact, maybe you have some of those books. Anybody have a favorite how-to book? There's all kinds of them out there. How to stretch your dollar. How to disarm your teenager. There's one for teenagers. How to raise your parents. How to shed pounds quickly. How to rebuild your transmission. All kinds of how-to books. And people that live in the fast lane, they need these quick fix books to get the information that they need. And we live in two worlds, of course. We live in the physical world, which honestly is largely beyond our control. And we live in the inner world, which is the spiritual world, which is largely within our control. You know, I can't do much about world events. Certain things I can do, but really I can't do all that much about world events. But I do have the choice to rule my own spirit and focus my attitude in positive ways. And so the text today provides a strategy for us in which this inner world can be ruled to produce a happy and a wholesome life. We have a sure word from the Lord that shows us how to have a happy life. There are going to be four parts to the message tonight. It really is not long, so you should be able to listen to the whole thing. Four parts: cultivate, nurture, foster, and develop. Cultivate, nurture, foster, and develop. First of all, cultivate. Cultivate a rejoicing heart. Cultivate a rejoicing heart. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He doesn't say rejoice sometimes. He doesn't say rejoice only when all is well. He doesn't say to rejoice only when things are coming up roses. Here's an attitude of the heart that is persistent, it's resolute, it's emphatic. And in fact, when I read this, I get a picture in my mind. I get a picture of Paul writing this passage. And I get a picture of Paul writing, rejoice in the Lord. And then he stops and thinks about that. And he says, thank you, Lord. You know, that really is a powerful statement. It's worthy to be repeated. We're on twos tonight anyway. Paul was a leap ahead of us. Is it rejoice in the Lord always? This is so good, I'm going to say it again. And again, I say rejoice. Now, some people might argue and say, that's unrealistic. Come on, Pastor, we can't rejoice all the time. That's just simply unrealistic. How can anybody be expected to rejoice always? I mean, there are times when we just don't feel good. There are times when we have troubles on every hand. Really, some people think this is just a trite statement. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But if you stop and think about this tonight, consider who is writing this. Consider the speaker's credentials. I mean, we are not talking about somebody who's had a life of ease. We're not talking about somebody who has had everything go well, who grew up in a rich home, never had to worry about money, never had any health problems, never had any troubles. We're not talking about somebody like that. We're talking about somebody who had the credentials. Listen, this man was in prison. He was flogged severely. He was exposed to death. One time he was stoned and left for death. He was beaten with a rod. He was shipwrecked. He lived in constant danger. This person says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice when you're in prison. Rejoice when you're flogged severely. Rejoice when you're exposed to death. Rejoice when you're shipwrecked. Rejoice when you're in constant danger. Cultivate a rejoicing heart. Why can we rejoice in everything? What makes it possible for us to rejoice in everything? What makes it possible for us to give thanks in every situation? Well, one of the reasons is because of our confidence in God. God is totally reliable. We can rely upon Him when we find ourselves in these situations. And our confidence is not in us. Our confidence is not in man. Our confidence is in God. If it's placed anywhere else, we will have anxiety. But if our confidence is in God, we will find that He is totally, all the time, reliable. Another reason that we can rejoice in everything is because we trust in God's sovereignty. Our trust in His sovereignty. He does all things well. God doesn't do anything halfway. He doesn't do anything mediocre. God is not average. God does everything extremely well. And the things that come in your life, you know that God is working them for your good. He's working them for your welfare. And whatever comes, please trust that He knows what He's doing. He is sovereign, and He's going to work out that which is well-pleasing to you and Himself. And the third reason why we can rejoice is because of our assurance of hope. Our assurance of hope that He will bring us safely to Himself. He will bring us safely to Himself. So what do I mean when I say cultivate a rejoicing heart? Maybe an example would serve the best. How many of you have ever listened to Johnny Erickson Tada? You listen to her on the radio, and if you don't know anything about her life, you don't know anything about her condition, you would think that she is the healthiest person on the airwaves. Just to listen to her, we would judge that to be true. But those of us who know the things that she has experienced and know that she is in a wheelchair and know that she is a paralyzed accident victim, we see an illustration of a happy heart that is made so by the practice of rejoicing. So how do you cultivate a happy heart? You practice rejoicing. You practice rejoicing. You say, I will rejoice. It starts with the will, and then pretty soon the emotions and the heart will follow. Cultivate a rejoicing heart. Number two, nurture a gentle spirit. Nurture a gentle spirit. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Sometimes I'm shocked by people's harshness. You ever had an irate motorist go by you? They'll release, you really don't even want to think about what they're saying. The profanity that is coming from their lips. How many of you have ever been in a checkout line and been embarrassed? Or been at a customer service counter and been embarrassed just to be in line because of the person that's ahead of you? Shocked by those things sometimes. We There are people that, hopefully not we, there are people that, they berate a clerk over the smallest matters. A fumble on the football field will turn a stadium into a thoughtless mob of hecklers. The kinder, the gentler word is hard to discover. It's harder to discover people today who are gentle. And I would encourage you to work on that, to strive for gentleness. You know, the Bible says that God's gentleness makes us great. When you are gentle, you make other people around you that much greater, that much better. Your spirit is to be a gentle spirit in the midst of a cruel and hostile world. And I want you to know that it's going to be an incredible challenge, because we tend to be like the world that is around us. And just by association, we tend to be harsh and critical. But the Christian is to cultivate, or is to nurture, a gentle spirit. Gentleness needs to be displayed at all times, but it especially needs to be displayed in the home. Harshness, anger, is destructive. You know, they're finding out through different studies that by far the majority of juvenile delinquents come from homes where there's incredible amounts of anger, usually on the father's part. And so gentleness gives life. Nurture a gentle spirit. You will serve the body of Christ well if you attain a higher level of gentleness. And so there's something here for every one of us tonight. If you are gentle and you have a gentle spirit, praise the Lord, but you can become even more gentle. And so it gives us all something to work toward. Attain a higher level of gentleness. It'll be like the balm of Gilead spread over hurts and bruises of people. People aren't used to people being gentle to them. They're not used to people understanding and caring and giving consolation and comfort and hope. They're not used to that. You'll be like the balm of Gilead. It'll be like the oil of gladness poured out upon troubled and hurting people. You'll be a reflection of the gentleness of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And so Paul besought them because he had this spirit of gentleness. He took on the gentleness of Christ. Number 3, how to be happy. Foster a tranquil attitude. Foster a tranquil attitude. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And right here, some people say, wait a minute. Paul, you have gone way too far now. First of all, you said rejoice always. But now you're saying not only do we have to rejoice always, but we can't worry. We can't be anxious. Paul, you've taken this idea too far. Perhaps it's because Paul doesn't know anything about freeways. Paul doesn't know anything about job layoffs or national elections or Dow Jones averages. Most people think it would be absurd to live an anxiety-free life. How could you ever live a worry-free life? Again, let me point to Paul's credentials. If anyone had cause for anxiety, if anyone had cause for concern and worry, it was Paul. He was imprisoned, he was in poor health, he was subjected to the harshest criticism, he was the victim of all manner of false accusations, and yet it is he who said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. And so, as incredible as it may seem, this is attainable. It's reachable. Renounce the lies, halt the stress, and enter into God's rest. Listen, there is hope for the run down. There is hope for those that are hard hit. There is hope for those who are all stressed out. There is hope. There is hope tonight, and if you allow the Lord, He'll show you that hope. You'll amaze yourself when things just don't worry you like they used to. They just don't bother you like they once did. And when you're not worrying, you have a happy life. And number four, how to have a happy life. Develop a focused mind. Develop a focused mind. We're going right in order. Verse 8 is next. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. One thing I have learned about computers, and I don't know as much about computers as some people think I know, and I don't know as much about computers as I'd like to know, but I do know that what you put in is what you get out. See, computers are not free thinkers. They don't think for themselves. They can't solve every problem we imagine. They can't solve every problem in the world. They can only use the data that we put in. The data that we put in is the data that we get out. And the human mind is no different. What you think, you become. What you feed your mind measures what you will become as a person. So if you want a good test, you want to know what you're going to be like, just stop and ask yourself, what are the things I think about? Jesus said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You will become the sum of your thoughts. And that's why it says the wicked don't have God in their thoughts. But we as the righteous, God should be in all of our thoughts. And so you will become what you think about. What you feed your mind measures what you will become as a person. I would just encourage you to avoid indiscriminate TV viewing. Avoid unwholesome conversation. Avoid idle thoughts that fantasize into things that are impure. Avoid words and pictures that cater to fleshly desires. Keep your eyes from seeing amusements that promote sensuality. And we could go on and on and on. Free yourself of those things. Instead, take the advice of the Apostle Paul and develop a focused mind. Let your mind think on those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and are of a good report. Because if there's any virtue and if they are praiseworthy, then think on those kinds of things. What does God want us to put into our minds? Well, there's the list right there for us in verse 8. That is God's special diet for His people. These are the things that you are to feed your mind with. And I would say to you that if you feed your life on these things, if you feed your mind on these things that are listed there, life will be good. Life will be good. If you don't focus on those things, the opposite will happen. Life will not be good. You will not find joy and happiness. And so God's formula for a happy life, really just four things. Cultivate a rejoicing heart, nurture a gentle spirit, foster a tranquil attitude, and develop a focused mind. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? Again, let me ask you the question that I asked you at the beginning. Please don't raise your hand, but just think, are you happy? Are you truly happy? Down deep, are you happy? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, for the most part, I am. For the most part, I am. I'm happy. But are there some areas there that are cause for concern? You can truly be happy if you cultivate a rejoicing heart. And right now, where you're at, could you begin to do that by saying, Lord, I do rejoice. Maybe I don't feel like it right now, but I just want you to know that I will rejoice. And then begin to nurture a gentle spirit. Work on gentleness. The next time you're tempted to become harsh or angry, say, this will not lead to my happiness. Instead, I'm going to nurture a gentle spirit. Foster a tranquil attitude. Even right now, those things that you are worrying about, give them to the Lord. So, Lord, here are my worries. Your word says that I'm to bring those worries to you in prayer, that I am to let my request, these requests, be made known unto you. Lord, I give you these worries. Here is my request. And then begin to develop a focused mind. Think on the right things. Father, we thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Lord, it's amazing to us that he could rejoice when we consider all that he went through. It's amazing to us that he could tell us to be careful for nothing when we consider all that he went through. Give us grace, Lord, to receive this tonight and to begin working on it. Lord, you know it's my desire that everybody here have a happy life. By cultivating a rejoicing heart, nurturing a gentle spirit, fostering a tranquil attitude, and developing a focused mind. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once a sinner far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold. But the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. And he drew his robe around me, and he led me to his soul. And I'm living.
Dismiss us in prayer, please.
Lord, we thank you that you do bring true happiness, and in all that is only true, that you make us joyful. We just ask, God, that we leave this place joyful and happy people, knowing that you are our Lord and Savior. We just pray that you would just be with us this week. Help us to share that happiness and joy with others. Bring us back safely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Have a great week.